Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fag. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're going sweet this time. We've got some cider.
Got a mixed four pack from just up the road here, man. Eris, the goddess of chaos.
So I went in there and picked these up, but I would have 100% bought a four pack of beer from Eris if they would have had beer in package.
This is very confusing. So they're not making beer still.
I did not see a menu. I didn't go beyond the little kiosk entryway. So I don't know if there was beer, but to buy things to go, you only have cider options.
So I don't know. I don't know if I should feel sad about it, but I do. Like, because I like their beer. And then I don't always like cider.
Right.
You know?
But I was like, well, I came here. I'm not just going to leave.
I'm already here.
I'm here, so let's get this. And then I was like, oh, a mixed four-pack. That's fun because I really didn't want four of any of these.
Fair. So Pedestrian is the one we're drinking.
Right.
But then there's also Blush, and then there's also a purple one, Van Mojo.
Right.
Which is a Mosaic High Blueberry Cider. That sounds very good, actually.
So Pedestrian is their dry, like a Granny Smith. But I'm getting like almost like a mosaic hop, like weed kind of taste to it.
You're a stoner, you know, is what that sounds like.
Can I just get like weed taste to it?
I mean, this one kind of tastes like cider. It's a little, it leans a little bit on the syrupy side for it to be a dry cider for me. I'd expect that from one of the other ones. They have one called Strawberry Barbarella, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's a very cool name. And then also saw Strawberry Cider. But also I just really love the name.
Okay, which one were you going to open next?
Probably the Van Mojo, right? Blueberry with the mosaic?
That one seemed like...
That sounds like fun.
I feel like that's the one I typically go to sometimes when I'm in there.
Yeah, the power of cider, you know.
Because there's hops in it, I'm like, all right, well, I can't have a beer because you don't make beer.
It smells just like hop water, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm. And the color looks great on it.
Yeah, that was fun. And I like that it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of blending their two passions a little more so than just anything Virtue would do.
Right.
You know, well, Virtue, but in comparison, I think the Virtue beers of ciders, I think one of them was modeled after, I think they took some Sophie Wort up there once, they were saying, or Matilda Wort to make one of their ciders. But then a lot of their ciders lean more into the farmhouse, funky saison side of things anyway.
Right.
Where these kind of lean more into the, whatever that category is when Vandermill's in and Angry Orchard's in.
Yeah.
These kind of are in that category.
But a little less sweet. Vandermill and
for sure.
Angry Orchard's is definitely just
for sure.
Sugar.
But definitely not on the wild or funky or even tart.
Yeah.
Or sour side. The Eris guys or ladies, I feel like don't really do that a lot.
But we've talked about cider and seltzer and the alternatives to beer, and cider is not my pick.
No?
If I would have walked in there and they would have had some sort of Eris seltzer, I might have went with that because I might have been a little more intrigued than the cider.
You're ready for the Eris apple brandy.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, I'd be here for the Eris apple brandy.
Give me that.
You know, they got their 5-year anniversary one, I want to say was an upside down pineapple cake with glitter, I think.
Okay.
What's my alternative to beer now? I don't know. You're thinking if you were ranking them and you said alternatives to beer. You know, you can go straight up hard seltzer, you can go cider, and then there's
just hop water, or regular seltzer,
or just RTDs. Right. Shit, a lot of breweries are making RTDs because they are also distilleries. Right.
And then you have the weed water.
And then you have that weed water from Hopwell.
A bunch of other people are doing that too. So.
Oh, yeah. So you've got, like, we just named, like, four alternatives. Like, where are you ranking cider of the ones that we just named? The weed water, the seltzer, the RTDs, which are straight up cocktails in a can.
Yeah.
Or hard seltzer or cider.
I think my preferences are probably going to be beer, the mixed cocktail cans, cocktail.
I guess we could throw meat in there too.
Oh, meat's at the bottom. Okay. So then I might go seltzer, hop, the weed waters, and then cider, and then mead.
I'm a fan of hop waters. I'm a fan of these fucking RTD cocktails.
Yeah, bring
it on.
Okay.
Yeah. Seltzer's, cider's good, just because I know I can up at a level with a little splash of any fucking spirit. So it still has some value. I don't make my way around the seltzers a whole lot, though.
Yeah.
So
I was going to bring up some ice, because I feel like cider and ice, I don't know.
It would be good. That would be good.
Yeah, it's like you water down. It's like people who drink wine with ice. It's like, it keeps it cool. And you get to drink more of it without getting as fucked up kind of thing.
It's refreshing.
Right.
Sure. I feel like no different from like iced coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just another way to drink it. You know?
But it's fun to always see what Aris is up to because I do have good food.
I like Aris. Got a lot of fun. I'm not vegan. They have a lot of fun vegan options though. Mm-hmm. If you want to go light. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we skipped last week, but I did a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I biked up to Makushla.
Makushla, hello. Glencoe, Illinois?
Glenview?
I think Glenview.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a bad bike ride. Nice through the forest, parks, whatever you want to call them, trails. And this place was pretty empty when we got there. It was a Sunday afternoon. The taco place is now gone.
It's the tap room for Hackney's, right? They share a parking lot with Hackney's.
Hackney's is still there, but then there was a taco place that was in the back kitchen of Hackney's.
Oh.
For a while. That's gone. So you can order food from Hackney's and go pick it up, but there's no food at Makushla. So that was kind of a bummer besides some bags of chips. After, you know, you bike there and you're like, oh, I could go for some, like, chips and salsa and a few beers. So disappointed there. But the beers... pretty tasty.
Okay.
Makushla, you're never having unless you go there because I've never seen anything in cans. I think I've seen some people with crawlers of them. And no one knows this place exists. And it could close and people would say, who? But it's got a nice space. It's outside. It's all open. And they make solid beer. They are kind of... If they were in the city, they'd be the urban brew labs that couldn't hack it. But they're in the suburbs, and it works out really well because of where they are.
Okay. Yeah. I'm familiar with Hackney's because there's one in Printer's Row. And but I know Makushla because from Rogers Park, if you go straight west, now you're in the Niles, Skokie land of, adventures. You're looking for adventures.
Yeah.
And Makushla kind of falls into that little section, that little northwest suburb section of stuff to get into if you feel like, Sundays you want to leave the city. Mm-hmm. So I'm familiar with Makushla. But yeah. But outside of like living northwest, I wouldn't know about
Makushla. No. And that 1090 is kind of right down the street.
Yeah.
No one's, like, we biked by there because we were biking then to Double Clutch. We thought about stopping there, but we were like, well, let's just get to Double Clutch because we're hungry. Nobody was in that parking lot for Double Clutch. For 1090. I forgot they were even there.
Yeah, I think 1090 refers to the gravity of their beers.
Okay.
I think a lot of beers have something to do with, like, 10% beers or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough out here, especially when you got a crew like Double Clutch who is still new to the scene and they figured things out. And, the critics love them. They are part of a restaurant group. So they understand how to how food plays into these type of spaces. They understand how to build out spaces because they're part of a restaurant group.
Right, and they have VC fund people behind it too.
Yeah. So and they and the beer's been good.
And so yeah, we biked over from Makushla to Double Clutch. Not very many people there. I think more people were working there than actually there.
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon for dinner time. Not happening, which was surprising on like a very nice day. It's a family friendly space. There was a family with some kids looking at the cars in there, but
do you have a preference when you go to places? Like you want it to be a bunch of people, or do you not mind if no one's there but you?
I don't mind, but for them I was kind of surprised. Okay. For Evanston, being very, there's lots of families, there's people that go out, that there wasn't a lot of people in there for a Sunday afternoon where whenever I've gone to Sketchbook Skokie, it's packed.
I kind of like going to places and there's nobody in this joint.
Sure.
Like, I'm like, okay, this is my speed. I will sit on the couch. Thank you very much.
But when there's no one's in there and then you're like, oh, can I get a water? They're like, yeah, it's over there on the bar. You can fill your own cups. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? What's happening here? I understand getting my own water at like a tap room, but at a restaurant, I feel like you should bring me this water.
I mean, that is one way to look at it, for sure. Side note on Double Clutch, man. They have, if you go to Montrose Harbor, for some reason, there's like six Double Clutch drafts on.
Oh yeah, I think you mentioned that. The beer is very good. It is better than it should be for just, I don't know, it's shockingly good every time I have their beer.
Yeah.
Overall, like, the food's kind of expensive for basically like a chicken sandwich and a beer, you're walking out of there with $45 a person.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's that good. The beer, I would just kind of probably stick to drinking there.
Yeah. Hellish Lager, they had a smoked beer, which is proper smoked beer, like mostly like 80% smoked.
I got the Hellish with the, I got the Kolsch.
They even have wine on draft.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. And then they're dabbling a little bit too. I had a little Juicy Coupe. They had a Hazy on one time when I went.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff. And then, of course, it's a car museum.
Yeah.
So it's just a very nice space.
Right. I think Maeve got like a session pale or summer session. And
yeah,
great beers. So definitely better than Makushla, but, you know, they both exist in their own space and they should both stay open and stay going. So let's see either of them go away.
Does Makushla have like a flagship or anything, or anything that they're just like really jazzed about, or do they have like, do they lean towards a certain types of beers?
No, they kind of do it all.
Okay.
Like they'll have Oktoberfest. They'll have, not right now, but we're probably any day now because those Oktoberfests are already rolling out. They had I think a fruit lager. I want to say it was like pineapple or berry lager. That was great after the bike ride. They do hazies. They have some stouts.
Yeah.
It's often of a red ale. So, yeah, kind of run the gamut over there.
Yeah, I like the logo. It's like a little heart. This like heart with the hands. It's like your hands that make the shape of a heart.
Right, yeah.
And it's like a, yeah. And that Makushla means something. I forget.
I forget,
too. It's something to do with, like.
I'm good that I remember the name of it.
Yeah.
So that's progress for me.
Yeah.
Then, I made a couple other stops. I went over to Ravenswood on Tap.
Right on.
And it's cash only.
That's funny.
And there was a metal.
Straight cash, homie.
And they have some ATM set up. I don't have a debit card on me. My debit card's in my phone.
They don't want the feds in their business, Brad. You know, it's as simple as that.
So, but you can go to the ATM and take out cash, but the ATMs are like old ATMs, so they don't even have like card like taps on them.
Oh, it's like old school. You have to swipe your fucking.
You got to put your card in, yeah.
Man, it's rough out here.
So I was like, well, is this metal band plan? I have no cash. I'm leaving.
Who the fuck's carrying cash?
In
the year 2024, our Lord.
The 50 plus crowd that was at Ravenswood on Tap.
Why are you making people carry cash for fucking beer?
Right,
because they don't want to report how much money was made at this joint.
Right, but last, what was it, 2 weekends ago, Square Roots Fest only card. They do not take cash.
You know, like a modern festival would.
Right. How do you go from COVID times of no one wanting to touch cash to being like, all right, cash is back?
I don't get it, man. I don't fucking get it.
But that just meant went over to Beguile and had a beer over there instead.
Yeah, it is Malt Row. Five or six breweries, all within like 2 miles.
Right. So. But you went over to Ravenswood on tap too, right?
Yeah, I fell through there right before it closed on like Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was there for the there's an all-girl Beastie Boys band.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, they, well, it's Malt Row, so as far as festivals go, there's a lot of beer options.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because it's Malt Row.
Turn this AC back on. Okay. So it's getting kind of warm.
Yeah.
In there.
So, you know, just having the Malt Row options. Koval was out there killing it with like a fucking vodka lemonade. That was okay. Nice. I think it might have been bourbon lemonade. And they had like a cranberry. They have a cranberry liqueur. So they were doing a cranberry gin liqueur and they were doing a spritz with that.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, a little fuzzy water with some ice cubes. So I think they were killing it the most.
There was a lot of options. Like, yeah. I was kind of surprised. I was a little disappointed I didn't have cash because I was like, oh, there's a few things I would want to try.
Yeah.
So
I think I just started twerking and getting to that. And that's how I paid for my beer.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking of other street fests that I've been to that they probably did the best job of having just really fun lineup of stuff to drink.
Right, because Square Roots Fest, they had a good amount to drink.
Yeah.
It wasn't super interesting. It was a lot of, like, just classic things.
We've had this talk. Even I remember Gary Valentine chimed in, like, 10 years ago about West Loop Fest because it was sponsored by Amstel Light. And I'm like, damn, we're in West Loop, though. Ground zero for a lot of cool breweries. And, you know, he was like, yeah, West, but, you know, Amstel Light cut the biggest check. You know, even at West Fest over on Chicago Ave.
Yeah.
All you could get, we talked about it a little bit, all you could get was like Corona Miller Lite out of plastic cups, you know, and that's all you can get at the party. I'm like, you can't even get 312. I'm like, damn, I can't get no 312?
That's it. That's rough.
So these festivals are rough. That's why I was like, well, shit, at least they got good drinks. The cash thing's kind of weird, though, but I agree with that.
So we just opened this Blush from Aris, maybe my favorite of the three. Mm. It could be that we're on the third one. I'm digging this one the most.
It's solid. It's red, but why is it red? Is it cherry? Is it strawberry?
What's this? It's a rosé.
Oh, so it's blended with sweetened tart cherries. Mm-hmm. That's fun. Yeah. What I'm just trying to figure out what the ABV is on these. Oh, they're 5.9.
Right. I think the Van Mojo was 6.
So yeah.
For some reason that one's a little more probably the sweetness from the blueberries.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Street Fest, man, shout out to the Taste of Lincoln Avenue. That was this weekend.
Okay.
Three Floyds was a sponsor.
What?
The really? Only beer you could get is Three Floyds beer. So it's like, what you want, Zombie Dust, or you want Gumballhead, or you want Robert DeBruce?
Doesn't even make sense.
It does make no sense at all. Even the fucking branding on the stage, you know, it's like stages on both ends on Lincoln Ave. So Lincoln Ave between, I would say, I don't know, maybe like Wrightwood and Fullerton. Something like that. So like 2,400 to 2,600 on Lincoln.
Okay.
So near DePaul and right before you hit Delilah's.
So over where, what's that place, the Cajun Brewery, that kind of like over that way?
Cajun Brewery. No, this is where the Biograph Theater that kind of looks like, the Biograph Theater because it looks cool like that one theater over on Ashland.
Okay.
Like the old school, old timey movie theater.
Oh.
So this is basically like walking distance from the old Atlas and Delilah's. And like beer mixers.
Okay, the Cajun Brewery.
What is the Cajun Brewery?
The one that was by Small Bar Fullerton, Cajun against Brewery. The grain. Well, not against the grain.
There's a Cajun Brewery over there.
They served Cajun food and brewed their own beer.
Really?
Come on. Yeah.
You for real?
For real.
Fuck. That's Southport. Because the Small Bar was on Southport.
Yeah.
So no, not that far. Okay. It was a little more, west than that.
Okay.
Fuck, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
It wasn't against the grain, but it was like against or. Not all right.
You're not talking about. You're not talking about. Local option.
Local option. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So no, that's too far east.
Okay. No. But local option, they have Cajun food.
They do have. You're right. It, local option.
Yeah.
It's okay. So it would be north of that.
Yeah.
It would just be north.
Like you said, where Atlas was. And
yeah. Oh, I was gonna say, talk about RTDs. The I think you had it on the show once. The Floyd's RTDs have these characters that look like something out of Sour Patch Kids or Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh no! Oh yeah, we talked about them. No. But we had the.
I think you had them at a party, or we had them on a show. I remember talking about.
We had like the bottles. We had the Barnaby's, the glass one. I was like, oh,
dude,
this is real good.
These fucking RTDs, and it's not the 5%; it's like 9%.
Yeah,
it's a party. These fucking things. One was coconut. One was pineapple lime.
Good. I'm
like, hell yeah, bring it on. So that was fun. Shout out to Floyd's, and shout out to Taste Lincolnwood. I think Taste Lincolnwood and this Ravenswood thing, kind of bringing it with the fucking beverage options.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Also over there in that corridor, Ravenswood corridor, Malt Row.
Yeah.
Hit up Is Was.
Oh, right on. So the newest brewery.
Right.
The newest tap room.
So I was very confused because everyone said they did nothing since Urban Renewal Brew Labs closed. Right. I had never been in this tap room space.
Oh, you didn't go when it was Urban Renewal?
No. Okay. I went when they built out that to-go area that was maybe half the size of this room we're in right now.
You're talking about for Koval?
Not. It was in the Metro space, in the Urban Brew Lab space.
Before, we did an interview there.
Right. We were in there, but this like tap room to go area wasn't even built out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So then when that got built out, that's what I thought this tap room was. Mm-hmm. I never even knew the old Koval space became the tap room. So when everyone was like, yeah, they didn't really do much. I was like, it wasn't much in there. It was just like standing room only. But no.
Yeah.
This is like, there's seats and windows.
This is straight up tap room. There's a bar.
The other one was like, we open the garage door, come in and take some samples and buy beer to go.
That was the old Metro space, right?
Right. Which Metro never had this like.
They never had a tap room. That's how it ended up in Avondale.
Right.
Yeah.
Which if Metro would have just maybe done this smaller Is Was Urban Brew Labs tap room, might have been way better for them.
Well, you don't get into a rent dispute if you do that. But Metro was like, hey, we're 9 years old, go big, go home.
Right.
Shit. And that makes sense.
They went home.
It made sense for them. It made sense for them to swing for that type of thing. But I don't think that was available to them though, because at the time, you know, that was all Koval.
They were still using it?
Yeah, the space that Urban Brew Labs converted into a tap room was Koval's barrel warehouse.
Okay.
I remember doing an interview for like a FOBAB doc, and we met Randy Mosier there, and it was just all warehouse. But since then, Koval moved their warehouse. So Koval has a tap room down the street on Ravenswood, maybe a mile or two south. But Koval's warehouse for their whiskey is up in like Michigan now.
Oh,
it was a way bigger space. So this, all their barrels were there.
In that tiny, that's pretty small for all the barrels.
And they're in all 50 states. So they're like, we got to fix this.
Yeah.
So they got a space in Michigan, and then that space came open. But I don't know if that was available for Metro when they were looking.
Okay.
But yeah, but had it been, that'd have been a good play for them.
Right.
Yeah.
So never have going there thinking I've gone there. Mm. Now going, I'm like, oh, this is kind of a nice tap room. I kind of
solid.
It's low key. It's nice. I don't dislike Is Was beer, but I don't want Is Was beer.
Okay.
I got whatever the low ABV table beer was.
Yeah.
And then I got a Goldfinger lager.
Oh, they had a Goldfinger on?
Yeah.
Good for them. I had a, because I went to this after the Ravenswood thing, and I had the I had a coupon for Saison.
Okay.
It was like very clear. It was almost clear.
Oh, that's cool.
It was like really like small. And it had something like a Harvest Saison. I mean, it was what I thought it would be. It
is
was what I thought it would be, man. It kind of reminded me of Afterthought, if you've been out there yet.
No, I haven't been that.
Well, the thing about Afterthought that I give him credit for, because when you mention the Goldfinger thing, now I'm intrigued. Because Goldfinger's in fucking Downers Grove.
Right. So if I get Goldfinger.
You get your Goldfinger or Ravenswood, that I'm coming to Ravenswood to get it. Oh, but when you go to Afterthought, Afterthought's got eight of their own beers, and they have a bunch of, you know, large format bottles and shit. But then they have it after that, it's like Hopley. They have like 10 pages of Belgian beers from around the world with proper glassware. And you can just nerd out on all Belgians from everywhere. And I'm like, I got a lot of respect for that because they don't give a fuck if you order their beer or a Belgian from anywhere. Just order something from the shit that they like to drink.
Yeah. Kind of like Lunar.
When you put it like that. Yo.
Did you know we have beer? We're Lunar.
You know, it's funny. I told this story a couple days ago. Me and Brad were hanging out for like New Year's Eve right before.
Yeah.
And Brad was supposed to take us to fucking Moore up in Huntley. We ended up at the original Moore instead. I still don't know how we had did this. Yo, but so you were like, well, let's go to Lunar. I've never been. And we go to Lunar and it is fucking, I swear, you like walk right into 1999. It's a VFW that has a brewery and there's a dude in a Lagunitas hoodie and there's a strobe light and there's fucking Christmas decorations. And I'm just like, I don't know what is happening.
Yeah.
It was something.
But I feel like that's gonna be when I go there again, it's gonna be I will try one of your beers. Gimme the other thing that I know I like.
Yeah, for sure. After that.
Like I'm not gonna fuck around with be like, oh, let me try the other sparkling Saison-y thing.
Saison-y is a good word. It's a Saison-y thing, you know. Yeah. So good for them. I think I'm glad the space exists as a brewery.
Yeah.
Because it could be something else. So
it'd be a good taco place. Like it has like a design of like a taco. What
the fuck no. Are you and these fucking tacos? But it's good to know they have a guest list because I will go back and get some Goldfinger. Yeah. And maybe try some more of their stuff. Who knows?
Cool. Let's see. Anything else? Have you hit up?
Ravenswood was. I think that was about it, man.
Hit up a Cubs game. The beer selection there is weird. It's like you can go to different places and find different stuff.
Yeah. I think Old Style, people who like Old Style, you can get that everywhere. But if you want to go hyper local, you got to go to that one bar all the way at the end by the, if they're still calling it the Captain Morgan's Lounge, there's a bar all the way at the end, like the most eastern bar you can get.
Oh.
And that's like all craft stuff.
I found one third level overlooking that like greenery area.
For sure.
They got all craft cans.
So you can get like Daisy Cutter and shit like that up there. You know, it's weird. If you sneak into the bleachers, now you can get Lagunitas IPA.
Okay.
Which, why wouldn't Lagunitas IPA just be everywhere is beyond me. But I'm like, oh, Lagunitas IPA is out here. Right. I guess I'm getting that. But, yeah, it is strange. It is strange.
This is weird drinking there. You're like, you get an Old Style, and you're like, I guess I need something else.
Yeah. On a good day, though. It's fun to cruise.
Cubby Rita.
I gotta be honest with you, Brad. If we're ranking things at Wrigley, I don't know what goes higher than Cubby Rita. Cubby Rita is as high as you go. You can get it in a little baseball. You can get it in a little baseball jar. You can get it in a full pail.
Oh, you can?
You can get a pail, Cubby Blue pail. This is the only Cubs thing I have in my house. Okay. It's this fucking pail from Wrigley with Cubby Rita, man.
I went with my mom and sister and Maeve, and we got Cubby Ritas. And so then they had the glasses, so.
You can have a proper fucking day off, Cubby Ritas. I'm here to tell you.
Watching them make it, there's not a lot of, like, perfect measuring. They're just kind of like, man, all right, that bottle's done.
You know, Wrigley's all right, man. Wrigley's all right with me. Shit, I like Wrigley, man. It's fun up there.
I think that was all my adventures. That was a pretty jam-packed couple weeks there.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then on the news side, we got Bourbon County news because summer's over.
It's getting there, man. BCS has been announced earlier than ever before. And, you know, I think last year they had six, but this year the Bourbon County Stout 2024 lineup is five.
Okay. And then in the past it's been like 12. It's been a lot. 10, I think.
A lot more than five, man. I don't know where we should start here. We start with the OG.
Regular, okay.
Yeah, regular. And then there's something called a macaroon stout, which is cocoa, nibs, candy, ginger, and coconut. I actually think this might be a sleeper hit. Because they really know their way around those adjuncts. Not the candy ginger, but the cocoa nibs and the coconut.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be really good. Prop this year is a barley wine. It's a Mexican candy barley wine. So it's a barley wine with tamarind, lime, guajillo chilies, and piloncillo, which is that Mexican dessert sugar.
Okay.
This sounds crazy as fuck. I think this is the most polarizing of the ones. Then they have a brand new beer this fall that's it's called the Bardstown Original Series. So it's basically double barrel.
Okay.
Yeah. So they take BCS and then they put it in Kentucky straight rye whiskey barrels and then they finish it in a toasted cherry and wood oak barrel.
Mm.
Sorry, I said cherry wood and oak.
Okay.
So cherry wood's a type of wood, I guess.
So it's in whiskey. So this is the first time they're doing a whiskey.
Well, it's rye whiskey. So let me read that again, right?
Because it's been a lot of bourbons.
It's a stout aged in BCS aged in rye whiskey barrels, which is not what they usually do. It's aged in rye whiskey barrels, and then the second barrel is a oak and cherry wood barrel. So it's a toasted barrel that they finish it in.
So it's a new barrel.
It's a new barrel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a new barrel that's toasted.
Okay.
Right. So it's I mean, that might be interesting. I think it mimics the Bardstown. The Bardstown whiskey does the same thing. It's a rye whiskey, and then they finish it on this barrel. I want to know more about this because it sounds like one of these barrels where each plank is different. So, like, one plank is cherry wood, one plank is oak, and then, you know, they toast that.
Okay. Right?
But, yeah, that could have some fun flavors. Yeah. Cask finish. Bourbon County cask finish, they call that one.
I wonder if they tried it in the barrels that were used by the Bardstown.
Bardstown is like super new, maybe 5 years old, but it's a guy who came from Maker's Mark.
Oh, okay. That started. So maybe there was no barrels or they couldn't use like previously used barrels. So they're like, let's mimic this and see what happens.
Maybe. They're off and running though. Bardstown's off and running. From what I hear, it's like one of the better stops when you go down there.
Hmm.
So that's probably the most interesting one. That's probably going to be the hardest one to get, the most expensive one.
Okay.
And then the return of vanilla rye, man. So vanilla rye is back.
Okay, nice.
Vanilla rye, of course, is a, I want to say vanilla rye is also finished in rye barrels.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, vanilla rye stout.
This seems like a very tight lineup where I think going into last year, we made comments about how there's still stuff on the shelf.
Yeah.
You guys are like, they're gonna pull back, mm-hmm. and here they are pulling back.
Definitely less variants than before, for sure.
They might volume might be the same, but less options, which is probably a better call. Because if you go up to the rack or wherever you're buying, you're like, I don't know which one to get. I'm just gonna get the other thing. I always know I can't decide between cherry, vanilla. Whatever, all the different flavors, coconut.
Just get the barley wine.
Yeah.
Just get the Mexican, michelada barley wine.
Right. And you're like, I'll just get ice cream and have my dessert.
Like, you know what? I'm just going to have that bottle of whiskey. Yeah. And I'm just going to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Do any of the... I know Rev has announced a lot of their lineup, and I don't remember the whole thing.
They kicked it off pretty strong with coconut and VSOJ.
Right.
But what else is in the lineup?
Maybe on the Rev side, but on the Goose side, I don't know if there's anything in there that like excites me.
Mm-hmm.
Like the double barrel that they did, was it last year or 2 years ago? That was great.
Mm-hmm.
That excites me. I would almost be excited to see a double barrel in different, I guess that's what that Bardstown kind of is, right?
Yeah, it's because they came out with a cherry wood one a few years ago. Matter of fact, when it was the year we did it from home, and the cherry wood one, it didn't offer, it wasn't a whole lot different from OG. Like, it's like, yo, this is BCS that we finished in cherry wood barrels, and I'm like, well, cherry wood isn't really expressive enough for me to get excited about it. So cherry wood BCS, I was just like, Well, it don't really taste like cherry, but it's not supposed to. It's just cherry wood, so it's supposed to be like this softer, more nuanced version of. That's the one where they went barrel forward for all of them.
Oh, yeah.
That was the Blanton's, and then the Old Forester 150 in the big white bottle, and everything was it was just a focus on barrels, and I was like, you know, these are I don't really understand that, but you know, that was birthday year, birthday right. And anniversary.
And then you're like, the most consumer, maybe the consumer that's after the Bourbon County, they're not. I'm not picking off all these, like, oh, yeah, that's blind lineup. Oh, that's Blanton's. That's birthday. That's
people don't give a fuck. And then they're making you give a fuck because they got all this fancy branding behind it, you know.
Right.
The Blanton's one has a little horsey, and the one, the Old Forester one looks just like the anniversary Old Forester whiskey. And, you know, that. But I what you're saying, like, how relevant is that to people who just like Bourbon County? Because like the best example of this would just be like straight up scotch versus a scotch beer, you know, like
right.
Scotch ale tastes nothing like scotch, and I don't think people who drink scotch give a fuck about scotch ale.
Right. I really think they should do or figure out, I don't know if they did, work with someone to do a whiskey or bourbon in Bourbon County barrels. I guess it would be a whiskey then.
Oh, you mean like finish their whiskey in BCS barrels?
Yeah.
And that they there is a I don't remember seeing any advertisements for it, but there's a Bardstown that finishes in BCS barrels. It's like a $200 play.
Okay.
And it sits in Benny's. You could probably get it today. But I don't know anything about it as far as how it tastes because that's a high price point. But I think that's how their relationship started with Bardstown.
Okay. But why couldn't Goose just roll this out? Like, they got the barrels. They got the space.
Goose should have made a more big. They should have made a bigger deal of that whiskey to get people excited about this.
Right, and I think you'd sell both Bourbon County and the whiskey, easy.
Yeah.
Back to back, people would be like, "Well, let me drink this, have a little bit of this. Oh, I can kind of see these going together and what's happening." And
yeah. Because side note, Microphone, who's having their Smells Like a Bean Spirit Fest this weekend.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but they're debuting a whiskey that. Kind of mimics Smells Like a Bean Spirit. Oh, but anyway, this whiskey's $130. It's got some local coffee, and it's like, you know, we distilled our beer into this whiskey or something like along those lines. But I mean, but they're getting people excited. Their big annual fest has Smells Like a Bean Spirit variants plus this whiskey. They're like, come get excited about this whiskey. That's the whole point of that.
Right. And Rev should do, like, not just saying Goose should do this. Rev should do the same thing. They should have a Deep Woods whiskey.
Like that, the Piggyback a few years ago from Whistle Pig.
Yeah, that's maybe just you can get it at the Rev Tap Room or because it would be a small quantity, or maybe it's like the $200 and be like, let's roll this out and get our branding in front of some other people.
If it's truly a crossover thing that they're going for, and they've said, Goose has come out and said that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're trying to appeal to people who like whiskey. If that's truly what you're trying to do, then you wouldn't. I happen to see the Bardstown BCS finished whiskey. I didn't see anything. I didn't see a rollout like I saw for these BCS lineup.
Okay.
So yeah, what you're saying is true.
You're not getting whiskey drinkers drinking your Bourbon County. You're getting beer drinkers going to whiskey.
It goes in that direction.
And then they're like, well, I can have this bottle for $30 or two bottles of your thing. I'll go with this bottle and have this for however long it takes to drink the bottle, which is much longer than the two bottles you could buy.
Yeah.
Or the four pack.
This is going to fly over. This is along the lines of the thing we said about, hey, prop, as nice of a gesture it is to have prop every year in the fancy light blue packaging. Instead of coming out with prop, why don't you just come out with all have a variety pack and little buddy cans of all six of them and make that in Chicago and make that stamp that as prop. Like, hey, you know, we love Chicago so much that we didn't just give you one. You can have all six of them in a mix pack just like Aris or anybody else does.
Right.
That would be prop that people like us would get excited about.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So I don't know if they're listening, but this is along those lines. If you're really trying to blur the lines, give us more whiskey, like you said. Now we're just rambling, but.
But along that, I did see that, like, speaking of whiskey sales, like Diageo, who owns Guinness, they said their spirits line was down and Guinness was up. Guinness was making money. So beer's back?
The brand is strong. You know, we underestimate how many people drink Guinness.
Right.
Because Guinness is, what's the fifth overall largest brewery on the planet? Just overall.
Okay.
And they have other brands, but primarily they're just selling the stout. Right, they got other stuff, right? They got blonde and, you know, some other shit. But they really just have variants of the stout primarily.
Sure, yeah.
Like, what else are they selling? So they're the fifth largest brewery on the planet.
Making one beer.
And all they sell is one beer. They got some levers on it. Sure, there's West Indies. There's London Porter.
You could say the same thing about, like, Budweiser or Miller. It's like, they got Miller Full. They got Light and High Life. It's the same. Like, don't. If they could have a Guinness Light, it's the same.
I agree. Yeah. But people drink a lot of Guinness. I had Guinness today. People drink a lot of Guinness. Because you know what? When you get Guinness, you know it ain't going to be fucked up. It ain't going to be an experiment. It's going to be what you know it to be, no matter where you get it.
Yeah, I think that goes back to maybe the last episode we were talking about, like, just on vacation or somewhere, like, just give me that Corona. I don't know. It does what it's... what I want, and you're like, well, just give me that Guinness. I can't decide. I know it's gonna be good.
It's gonna come. Yeah, you know, it's gonna be Guinness.
Yeah.
You know, Diageo has some crazy brands in their lineup too, man. Captain Morgan's, Ciroc, yeah, Johnny Walker. Mm-hmm. They have very recognizable brands.
Yeah.
Malibu.
Is it Bullet, right?
Oh yeah, Bullet's in their lineup. Yeah. So they have a ton of recognizable brands. So. Guinness is the strongest. Good for them, man. I like Guinness.
Yeah, no, for sure. Damn.
It's probably the most powerful. It's probably the most powerful of the macro brands. If I'm power ranking macro brands, I would put Guinness. I'd say Guinness than High Life. But what are you putting above Guinness? If you're power ranking macro beers, what are you personally putting above
Guinness? Well, the fact that, like, I think if you're going to rank it like that, Guinness... someone could have a Guinness poster, wear a Guinness shirt.
Yeah.
They're going to rep Guinness.
Yeah.
The only other brand, like, you could say Old Style in Chicago.
Yeah.
But that's just here, really. Right. Maybe Milwaukee. But you could be in Missouri and someone could have a Guinness shirt on.
Yeah.
They're not going to have an Old Style shirt on.
Yeah.
I don't know. No one's really walking around with a Bud Light shirt. No. Right. Maybe they bring back Spuds.
they might have a Spuds McKenzie shirt before they have a Bud Light shirt.
So you're right. Guinness is probably the top dog.
So I know I got really there. I got really fucked up on a boat, and I had to go to like a high school like all classes reunion the next day.
Okay.
And you know, all I had was like a handful of like Spider Cows, and I was out of those. And I didn't want anything strong, but, you know, one of the guys was like, hey, man, I got a Bud Light. So I just poured it in my red cup and just kept it moving.
Okay.
I was like, you know, if you're hungover, you can roll a Bud Light the next day. I found a use case. I found a use case for Bud Light. I was like, this is perfect because it's 4.2 and I don't really need anything stronger because I'm a mess.
Right. And that's why all those beers sell very well at, like, sporting events and things where you're just... you're outside in the heat most of the time, and you're like, let's go.
Yeah.
Thirsty. Cool. Anything else need to mention before we get out of here?
Man, I think that's
Oak Park Microbrew.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Oak Park Microbrew.
Tickets are on sale.
Probably like, pretty solid fest.
Three, four weeks.
Yeah, they don't change it a whole lot. I think the location does a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But then also, it's the location closest to Chicago where you'll get to try all the suburb breweries that you heard about but then you didn't bother going to.
Right.
So, good for them. And then we know those guys, man. Shout out to Jana and Heather.
Yeah, I'm sure they're still helping. And.
Yeah, I think they're kind of like the team behind pushing it, yeah.
Okay.
So, that's always a good hang, yeah. I see consistently, too, you know. It's pretty consistent fest. So, good for them. And cheers to them.
Yeah, nice. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
I don't know what. You didn't go to the biker dude for the...
For Hot Butcher? I missed it. Okay. I missed it. I wanted to go. And then I was just like, I'm just going to water these plants and sit on my couch and play this video game. Yeah.
Strong priorities there.
Yeah, his only time in Chicago, too. But he's going to be back in August.
Oh, so your message would be like, I can't make it. Are you coming back?
I think I'm
going
to go.
I got plans.
I think I'm going to go in August. He's okay. Going to be back like August 12th.
To Hot Butcher?
At Hot Butcher.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I think I'm going to go back to that, man, because I think he's pretty good.
Yeah. I need to try him. Yeah. Cool. All right. And that's going to do it for the Cidercast. Take care.
Cheers.